at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The Trump administration says space is starting to get a little bit crowded, including with some major competitors like China and Russia. That's why today at the Pentagon, Vice President Mike Pence laid out the plan for the creation of a new space force by the year 2020. He says America needs to dominate in space just as it does elsewhere. California's capital region has been dealing with a dull haze and the faint smell of smoke now for 2 weeks, even though there are no major wildfires burning near Sacramento. The combination has forced summer campers to stay inside obscured, normally bright skylines and left ash falling on cars. It's coming in largely from 100 miles away at the Mendocino Complex fire and also another major blaze burning near Yosemite. Israeli warplanes have struck dozens of targets in the Gaza Strip. 3 people were reported killed there as Israel continues to try and defend its borders. On Wall Street, the Dow right now down by 12 points. This is SRN News.
We'll see a mix of sun and clouds for most of the day. Then by afternoon, there's a chance of an isolated thunderstorm. The high today, 92 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy. Overnight, the low 77. There's about a 1 in 10 chance of rain overnight. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy. Our high tomorrow, 92 degrees.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary, my battle buddy in the Philippines. Good to be back in the studio again. Our first week. Doug, it's already Thursday.
Thursday. We got one more day left in the week, and it's hard. It's just flown by already.
I know. I mean, just, you know. Time flies when
and you're
having
back
fun,
kind
right?
of in your realtor clothes again. I only got you for one day in shorts.
Yeah,
man.
So I showed up yesterday in shorts for those listeners out there. You know, we are going to one day have a video stream going, and you'll get a good look at that we were meant for radio. You know, Doug, am I right?
Yes, I think we're going to stream it. It's going to be some kind of YouTube thing. Or
well, I'm just saying
something.
That we were meant for radio. We were not meant for streaming video.
Well, that's true.
But,
but that's why it hadn't happened so far. I'm in shorts today. This is, I like
well,
this.
You look good. You got your SWAT shirt on. You got your SWAT t-shirt on. And
you got to admit, I get more comments on this new SWAT shirt logo and the polo shirt.
Now, look, turn around. Let me see the back. Okay, so you got your SWAT 5 on the back.
Yeah, in fact, I had a guy... I just took my daughter to a movie. We went to see a movie.
What'd y'all go see?
We went to see Fallout.
Was it good?
Which was the Mission Impossible. Yeah, it was really good.
I saw that.
You did?
Yeah.
The new Mission.
It was really good.
I thought it was really good.
It's pretty good. You know, by the way, you know the Jaguars are playing tonight?
Is it football season?
Can you believe it? Isn't
oh
that right,
gosh.
Steve?
Really?
Jags are on tonight. Yeah.
It's already football season.
In fact, I think
season.
There's 3 games on tonight. 2 or 3
I cannot
games.
Believe that it's already... Well, I know. I heard like the Colts were playing, but
well,
I can't
so,
believe...
So a week ago, I think, was the Hall of Fame game.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the ratings were pretty low.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if people are just... throwing their hands up to the football thing or not, but
well, it's,
I'm excited about college football.
Well, I'm excited about college football, always excited about college football, but it's about that time, isn't it? Steve's looking around. He's going, where's that coming from? That's coming from YouTube.
So I don't know if...
He stood at attention like... Sorry, Steve. Wrong song.
Yeah, exactly. The PGA is going on right now, and the last major golf tournament of the year, and then we have Ryder Cup coming up. So
wow, the Ryder Cup. How are they looking this year?
Good.
They got a
good
team.
But Europe's looking really good too. And since it's going to be over there, I think we're underdogs.
Well,
from what I heard.
Well, you know, we talked about this earlier in the week, speaking about Fallout, the name of that movie was Fallout. There is a lot of fallout with Willow Creek. We talked about it. I mean, Christianity Today called it a seismic shock at one of the nation's most influential churches. Of course, I've always contended church was never supposed to look like that. Because that church was really a bunch of seekers. There were people there who came there, and the church is believers. It's people who have followed Christ who were coming together. Now, that didn't mean that seekers can't be a part of that.
Well, so let me just interject. Not that it you and I feel the same way, I think. Now, my wife, Vicky, came to Christ through that
ministry.
And
I know lots of people that came to Christ through it.
Yeah.
You know, what ended up happening with a lot of people, though, is they would come to Christ, and then after a few years, they would go to another church.
Right.
Because it was just all pretty milky stuff, but it has been very influential. Bill Hybels is an evangelist. I mean, he's really more of an evangelist than a pastor. And he had this incredible passion for the lost, but with what happened, you know, the allegations that were made and all that stuff that came out last night, the lead pastor, who, by the way, was a female, resigned.
Well, this is all in the last week.
Yeah, 20, yeah.
Because Steve Carter.
And then the whole elder board resigned. I mean, that's huge. Yeah. They all stepped down, and you know, this the I mean, of course, we've talked about this before, and I'm sure we'll get emails about this, but the Bible is pretty clear on qualifications for an elder. And when you start allowing people to be on an elder board that don't meet that biblical qualification, which there are people on there, and I know that there's debates about this, but where's we talked about the Pandora's box, where does it stop? But one of the elders said, we're sorry that we allowed Bill, talking about Bill Hybels, to operate without the kind of accountability that he should have had. And that goes to what we've been talking about with the SWAT retreat and the accountability and the need for accountability within the church, especially within our culture that so celebritizes these pastors and leaders to do that. And
well, this this breaks my heart. I mean, just what's going on there. I've been to that church several times. In fact, my father-in-law, who passed away 2 years ago, had the service there. They're doing some amazing things in that community. And so when you hear this kind of stuff, and we need to be praying for that ministry.
Well, I think, you know, as much as he had a heart and as much as God used him that way, you know, he was mentored by a guy named Robert Schuller. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
Robert Schuller is a very positive thinking guy who I personally believe, and this is my personal conviction, he allowed pragmatism to dictate a lot of what he did rather than the Bible. And that's what we see. We see the vast effects of this in Christian bookstores. You know, most of the church growth books look nothing like 2 Timothy and Titus, which is the letters that Paul wrote of how to conduct the church while, you know, he wasn't there.
And well, so, I think it's back, and you and I have discussed this, it's a man-centered theology.
Very much so.
It's my best life now. It's all about me. And I shouldn't say all about me. That's probably not an accurate statement, but I think in general, When you read books and you listen to songs and you hear preaching, is it about God or is it about man? And I think it's you really tune into that and listen to that, because a lot of the music we hear today in, you know, ministry circles is not as much about God as it is about us.
Well, these kind of situations certainly lead us to grieve, and one leader said it this way: it's a time to grieve for women who felt that their stories of abuse were not heard or believed. I personally know women like that who pastors have abused. In fact, Brad, they are still in the pastorate today, and their stories have not been told. People tried to go forward, and they were hushed. And now these women feel bullied down, and it's tragic because they're leading churches of 8,000 to 10,000 people, and they should not be. It's a time for us to grieve for the families who've shared that suffering and the friends to grieve for the leaders up there who were gifted but who were trying to make a difference for their families, because now they've lost their position. Things are associated with them. Grieve for the staff, ministers, and all the different ministries impacted. The Willow Creek Global Summit just lost 100 churches, and the Denzel Washington was going to speak at it, and he pulled out. Wow. So it's had some shockwaves throughout that. And to grieve for the reputation for Christianity in our culture.
Exactly. That's what grieves me. This is the bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's the body of Christ.
But it shows what happens without accountability. That's by right. their own admission.
That's right. Exactly. Right?
But
exactly.
This guy says, and it's really good, it's also a day for faith, hope, and love. Faith in a Father who rules the universe, that even though man is flawed, that our security is never in man or anything man builds. It's in the Father. It's in the Son who founded the church, and he promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against
that's
it.
That's right.
And it's also faith in the love that's produced by the Spirit that extends even to victims and to sinners, the people that commit those crimes, knowing that we've all been both, you, I, and everybody. And so our compassion is needed. There's a guy named Brother Lawrence who wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. It's a great book for reflection. And he says many things are possible for the person who has hope. Even more is possible for the person who has faith. And still more is possible for the person who knows how to love. But everything is possible for the person who practices all three. And I think that's a great reminder for us that when we have Jesus Christ, we have hope. I remember talking to a guy yesterday who said he was struggling with something going on in his family. And I said, you know what? When you talk to this family member, give them hope. Because they're believer, you're a believer, give them hope in Jesus. And that's why we went to the Philippines, well, to take those kids hope.
We were just talking about this the last couple of days. When you look at Paul, his writings, while many times he was tough, he was directly dealing with sin, there was always encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
And the encouragement is the gospel. The greatest encouragement you can give anybody is the gospel.
It is the greatest thing, and that's why we went to the Philippines,
right?
To take hope to these kids. And you know, many of those kids are growing up over there with parents who have left them or abandoned them, and they live in a culture that's very difficult. And so today, instead of going through, I mean, Ephesians 2:10 says we were created for good works, and we took 11 guys over to the Philippines
to do 10. Some good works.
You and I took 10 guys over there to do what we were created to do. And one of those guys is here in the studio with us today, David Gray. And we're going to have some other guys call in. But it's not David Gray, the plumber in plumbing. It's David Gray, our friend and SWAT brother. David, welcome to SWAT Radio.
Thanks, Doug. And thanks, guys, for having me. Brad, I can certainly add to today's theme of he's got a face for radio.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
David is one of my greatest encouragers, too. I'm so glad he's here with us today.
So David, just quickly, David and I got the privilege of riding in the back of that wagon. So we
were y'all the first day?
So what happened, see, you may not remember this, Doug, but since we only got about a minute before we take our first break, we'll have some fun on the break here, is that David and I were the last to get on the vehicles going to the hotel in Manila.
Okay.
And so we had to climb in the back of the we called it the paddy wagon, because that's where all the luggage was. And there was just enough room for his hind end.
You didn't get the limo like we did?
No. So there was just enough room for David's hind end and mine. And it was an interesting ride. David and I really, I mean, we know each other through SWAT Bible studies, but really, to get what we were probably 2 hours in that vehicle.
Yeah, the vehicle was pulled over for a registration issue, and we thought we were going to create an international incident, you know.
Exactly. So,
but we made it.
Yeah, I knew absolutely. I should have put y'all in that first group, man. Anyway, well, I'm glad you're with us, David. When we come back off the break, we're going to ask you a few questions and just have you share with our listeners about your time over in the Philippines.
Sure.
You got a few experiences, don't you?
I do.
I'm telling
you. Great.
So thankful. Great to have David in the studio with us. And like I said, we'll probably won't take any calls other than we got a couple of SWAT guys calling in. But if you want to download our app, SWAT Radio, you can download it, listen to past broadcast, and join us at SWATradio.com anytime.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Hey, Steve, by the way, when you come in on that music, if you see Doug singing over here, just trick him and just turn it on.
No,
so,
don't.
So
don't
our listeners have a chance to hear Doug sing Peter Cetera. It's amazing. What a ministry.
That's funny. Really? See, I got both you guys sandwiching me here.
You have no idea how much I'm enjoying this. David Gray, good to have you, man.
Great to be here, Brad.
So, David, we were in the Philippines sharing the gospel. We knew going over there we were going to have opportunities to share the gospel 6 to 7 times a day. First of all, was the decision to go on a trip like this hard for you? Or was it something you've always wanted to do? Was it a faith tester? I mean, how did you decide to go, first of all?
Yeah, it theoretically, it had always been something that I wanted to do. Spiritually, it had always been something I wanted to do. When it came down to it, it wasn't quite that easy to make the decision. And actually, that was one of the first kind of good lessons I learned back when you were strong-arming me. Wisely counseling.
Yeah.
You commented on, that we shouldn't pray about these things from the standpoint of, God, should we do this? Should I do this? Hmm. We should pray from the standpoint of, God, are there reasons you don't want me to do this? Mm-hmm. And so that really changed how I thought about it, and I started praying like that, and there were no obstacles to go, and the decision became fairly easy at that point.
Well, that's awesome that it became easy, but even still, did the thought of the money, because it was a fairly expensive trip to go, did that enter your mind at all when you thought about it?
Sure. Yeah, it did. But certainly throughout the history of SWAT, you've talked quite a bit about different situations that you've been in, needing to do fundraising and needing to have God provide funds, and so it maybe wasn't quite as daunting as I may have thought otherwise, and I wound up contributing some initially, but it really wasn't that much money. And then the rest of it, God took care of. So it was great.
And Brad, for you, now going to India, it was probably a little bit like that for you.
Yeah.
Was it a little easier with the Philippines?
Definitely was easier. And you're right, David. That's exactly. I think theoretically, we know Scripture tells us go. And we know, spiritually, I think we want to go do that. But isn't it interesting? I think you talked about it Tuesday at our Bible study on the West Side,
mm-hmm.
is that we overthink it most of the time. Yeah. Instead of finding reasons not to go, we're finding reasons I mean, instead of finding reasons to go, we're trying to find reasons not to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I've got a busy week that week, or I've got this, or it's money, or it's just, listen, there's always going to be a reason not to go. In fact, you know, Doug and I, you and I have talked about this at length about the India trip, you asking me to go. I'm not kidding you. I think I was just literally had a out-of-body experience where I said, I'll go.
Without checking calendar or checkbook or anything?
Didn't ask my wife, didn't look at the calendar or the checkbook. It was done. I'll go.
And I would add, even after the doubts of whether or not I should go, once the decision was made and once I was there, especially once I was there, it never even entered my mind that I shouldn't have done the trip. So thinking about it is the worst part sometimes.
Well, and so getting over there, explain what it was like. I mean, you land in Manila. You're with this group. Brad already talked about your great ride from the airport up to the site. But going out that first day, were you nervous?
Yeah, I was a little nervous. Just kind of nervousness about the unknown, because we weren't quite sure how it was going to unfold or what the procedures were going to
mm-hmm,
be.
Mm-hmm.
And we all like to be in control, and we like to know the procedures. At least I know I did.
So Dave and I got paired up the first day.
Yeah. Oh, so y'all went out? I didn't know that.
We did.
So we not only, you know.
Did y'all go to the mountain the first day?
No.
So y'all went in the town?
You know, Doug, here's what's funny. David, I don't know if you know this. I don't know where we were any day. I don't know if I was south or north or east or west.
Yeah.
I just know it was remote.
Yeah. I have since gone back and looked at the maps
from the pictures
to try to figure out a little bit where we were. But when we were there, yeah, we didn't know.
Well, I know where we were. We stayed in Malolo City, and there was a little outskirt place called Abando, which we went. Dave and I actually went one day together, too.
Mm-hmm.
So he went out with both of us
mm-hmm.
on different days. We tried to go out in teams of two every day. And Dave, I've got a picture here of you handing out tracts. Remember that? That
yep.
day you were handing out those kids. Talk a little bit about what it was like standing up in front of these school children, everything from elementary age up to high school age, and sharing the gospel with them. You know, what that experience was like.
Yeah. At each school, it was a little bit different. Some days we went classroom to classroom individually with a translator. And other days, it was more of an assembly-type situation where they'd get several classes together or the whole school together in an assembly. And I think the first thing that stands out is the kids and the teachers were just incredibly respectful and polite and welcoming of us. Virtually every class would stand up and in unison welcome us into the class we all were joking about and doing our impression of the kids, you know, good morning, visitors.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nice to see you. You know, they would all do that mm-hmm. in unison. And so certainly that kind of a welcome made sharing the gospel, made us, I think, all feel more comfortable. And I think the Holy Spirit really was preparing the way for us and then giving us, as the Bible says, the right words to say.
So, David, I was telling Doug on Monday or Tuesday this week, because that's kind of how we started the broadcast off, was talking about the Philippines. I was thinking about you and I, very first day, very first place. It was kind of like, are you going to do it or am I going to do it? Are you going to do it? I'm going to do it. You know, I think we were both a little nervous. I mean, two guys who've known the Lord for many years, both of us have shared the gospel, yeah. taught all those things that you would think, well, this would be very normal for me. And,
right.
you know, Doug, I don't know if he told you this, but the very first place we went, there was another couple of guys who got up, younger than us, who got up with tons of energy, and our interpreter said, they're sharing the gospel right now. I think Doug, Dave and I looked at each other and go, we don't have to do it.
Yeah, the only thing we understood was John 3:16. You know, we heard that, so we looked at our translators and said, are they doing what we were going to do?
But that took us
off the hook a little bit that first time.
Yeah.
Let us be a little more at ease.
But very quickly, I mean, we went from that school to another, started sharing it classroom to classroom. And I don't know about you, I kind of found myself after about three or four times going, okay, you know, I got this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How many times a day do you think you share the gospel on average?
Yeah, I would say it was at least six times a day on average, sometimes several more, and maybe one or two days, one less.
Okay, so have you ever done anything like that before?
No.
Have you ever shared the gospel that much before?
Not that much, no, and not that directly.
Wow.
And I think what was really helpful is that, you know, our preparation meetings together, where we talked about the four main points that we wanted to hit, you know.
Which are?
See if I can still do
Come
it.
Come on, you can do it.
God's original plan and God's love for us.
Yeah.
Our sin problem.
Yep.
God's provision in Jesus, and then our response to Jesus.
Yes, and so those four main ideas we tried to cover, and what's good is hopefully everybody did it in their own way, because we're called to be witnesses, not salesmen.
Well, I think, Doug, that's a great layout for people. If you're listening and sharing the gospel is almost an intimidating idea, and I've talked to a lot of people that they're like, man, I couldn't do that. I'm like, what do you mean you couldn't do that?
If you're a believer, you can do it, right?
Well, you go eat at a good barbecue place, or you know, you watch a good movie, you've got no problem talking about it. We talk about our grandkids, our kids, whatever it is.
Right.
We're excited to talk about those things. How can we not be excited to talk about the thing that changes us for eternity?
Mm.
And so it's God's plan, man's problem, God's provision, and man's response.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It starts with God, and so often gospel presentations start with man.
Again, it's that man theology.
And it starts with God, the way God created us. Now, Dave, I've known you, I'd say probably 5 years, maybe,
at
five
least.
Or 6 years.
Yeah.
You started coming to SWAT. I think you came to the beach first.
I did.
And then you came to the one at Town Center. I was so excited that you came. And, you know, God has a way of working out the details. I'm looking at this picture, you handing out these things, and I just was thinking about when I saw this picture, I'm looking at the kids, they get it. Talk a little bit, you know, Ephesians 2:10 says, we were created as his masterpiece, his workmanship for good works. That is a good work right there, what you're doing. Talk a little bit about how that changed your perspective now coming back to the States, going into your job, into your world, wherever you are. How did that impact you?
As Brad said earlier, once you do it a few times over in the Philippines and you share the gospel that openly and bluntly, it doesn't take long before it starts feeling more natural and more like, hey, this is what we should be doing. And so certainly coming back from that, I had a much higher readiness, and my thought process has been much more along the lines of, you know, I don't need to go to the Philippines to do this. This is what I'm supposed to be doing every day. And so I think I've been more conscious about looking for opportunities, not always succeeding, but looking for the opportunities, and just considering it more normal. And the more you do it, the more normal it is.
Well, Brad and I have this little saying that it's not perfection, it's direction. So would you say this changed your direction a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And the other thing it does is, you know, I catch myself having a very, especially on this trip, having a very sometimes small-minded view of the kingdom.
Mm.
My own little sphere of influence, which is important because God is gracious enough to use us in his bigger picture of the kingdom, in our own sphere of influence. But you get over there and you start to realize, man, the stuff I worry about and think about and consider my problems or the things I think are so important, really in the scheme of things, maybe aren't quite as important when you see things like that.
Mm. Yeah, as we've been looking at this, and we're going to take a break here in just a second, but as you look at that verse, you know, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, the idea is if we've surrendered to the lordship of Christ, we have surrendered to share his message.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great work that is. And, I talk about this a lot, that what a cool opportunity. We get to go and present the greatest gift of all time.
15 seconds before we break, talk about being with the SWAT guys.
That was great. And you and I had what day to talk about it over there. The sense of community, the importance of the community of believers, and the bond that we created that when we come to SWAT now we'll always have from that trip was fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's great.
So good. So good. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break for news and weather. If you want to listen to past broadcasts, SWATradio.com. You can go there and listen. If you download the app, you can listen back and all those messages in the past. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SWAT Radio Talk. Join us there and send us some questions.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Vice President Mike Pence has announced plans for a new separate U.S. Space Force as what would be the sixth military service by the end of 2020. After all, he says China and Russia both have designs on space.
Our adversaries have transformed space into a warfighting domain already. And the United States will not shrink from this challenge.
Vice President Pence says the Space Force is needed to ensure America's dominance in space. And he says that while it was once a peaceful and uncontested domain, it is now crowded and adversarial. Two major wildfires, including the biggest in state history, are still burning in California, along with more than a dozen smaller fires. Firefighter Lee Hender came all the way from Australia and says California has some rugged terrain.
Although we have similar sorts of elevation back in Australia, we don't have the gradient increases that they are here. The terrain seems to be very, very steep.
Ben Thomas reports Carla Provost has been named U.S. Border Patrol's first ever female chief.
Provost joined the Border Patrol in 1995 as an agent in Douglas, Arizona, then moved into top management positions in El Paso, Texas, and El Centro, California. She transferred to the agency's headquarters in 2015, where she's focused on efforts to clamp down on corruption, misconduct, and mismanagement.
The number of people who perished as a result of Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico last year is being updated now.
For the first time, Puerto Rico is quietly conceding that Hurricane Maria killed more than 1,400 people last year, and not just the 64 in the official death toll. The government acknowledged it in a report to Congress this week in which it laid out its reconstruction plan for the island. Hurricane Maria hit in September of last year, and Hurricane Irma 2 weeks later. They knocked out power and water and caused widespread flooding that left many sick and elderly people unable to get medical treatment.
Correspondent Rita Foley, more on these stories at townhall.com.
Look out for an abandoned vehicle on I-10 westbound just beyond US 17. Not too far from downtown, it's blocking the left lane. Also, a disabled truck on I-95 southbound just before Old St. Augustine Road on the south end of town. And planned construction on the East Beltway, 295 southbound at Phillips Highway. That's blocking the left lane there. A chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight. Low 75, Friday, partly sunny, high 94.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary, David Gray in the studio with us, and we've got another Philippines brother who's joining us also, right?
Yeah, we're going to have another. We got Mark Cars who's on the line.
We want to ask David one more question.
Yeah, I wanted to ask David one more, and we're going to bring Mark in real quick. Dave, you went to the SWAT retreat this past weekend. Where we brought in Rod Hanley, and you were out on the golf course observing me slice the ball and hit the ball all over the place.
Did you guys play together?
No, didn't. Thank goodness for him.
Yeah, you know, good for you, Dave.
Did you almost win it, or did you?
No, come on.
Okay. Sorry. Anyway, real quick, 1 minute about the SWAT retreat and what you've observed in that. And if guys are listening out there, why they would want to be a part of something like that?
Yeah, well, the SWAT retreat is great. I've been to several. I've missed a couple, but I've been to several over the years. Because we don't meet weekly over the summer, it's a great way just to reconnect with guys, see what they're up to. And the day is fantastic in terms of the lessons are always good. The guest speakers you've had are great. And then the bulk of the day is spent in one of the activities, and it just deepens relationships and the community that we were talking about earlier. And then we come back for dinner, and there's always a lot of funny stories about, you know, you mentioned I was too busy watching you slice. Believe me, I was too busy watching all of my poor shots, which were easy to watch because they didn't go very far. And then the nighttime dinner and speaker, fantastic. Rod was so good on accountability, and it really convicted me of a lot of things. And then to end the night, as we did, and I know you've done the last couple times with communion, was really special. And I don't want to neglect to mention that in the upstairs room of Rain Tree Restaurant where we were, we kind of ended the night singing Amazing Grace.
Yes.
And the servers, I know, told you, Doug, that all the people downstairs kind of got hushed and
It was like a flash mob choir, wasn't it? It really was. It was
from the upper room.
It was really cool. Well, I'm glad you were a part of it, and glad you could be part of the Philippine trip, and thanks for being in the studio today with
us. Thanks for staying after me.
Oh, yeah. And we got Mark Kars on the line. Mark also went to the Philippines with us. Mark, welcome to SWAT Radio.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Brad. Hey, David.
Hey, Mark.
How's it going?
Good, buddy. How about you?
Good. I've been listening all this time, and you know, I have to admit that we all have faces for radio. You
know. Well, brother, I wasn't going to bring that up with you, but now that you brought it up, we will go there.
Mark and I share the same barber.
Oh yeah.
Well, yes, we do.
Hey, Mark. You know, tell us about you going to the Philippines on this trip. What led you to go on this particular trip?
He heard I was going.
You led me. You led me to go on this trip, brother.
Well, no. I asked you to go, but you had to make the decision. When you you know, did you have any fears or concerns before you committed to go on this?
Of course. I guess we're all human and don't know, you know, the things that we don't know kind of steer us. But I've been on mission trips before, but nothing quite like this one. And so for a month I told you that I was going to pray, and I was going to, and as I talked through it with God, and I said, God, I'm going on this trip unless you provide, you know, something that will be obvious to me that I shouldn't go. And that's how I approached it. I was going to go all the time, and he never did put up a roadblock or anything like that. And so, you know, after a month, I came back to you and I said, I'm in, brother. So that's how I approached it. You know, obviously, you do have the fear of the unknown, but, you know, the Lord's going to get you through that, and I trusted in Him, and He got us through, got us all through. So
you know,
it was an amazing time to be with the 12 that went, or the 11 that went plus me, and the other ones that tagged along with us. So it was amazing.
You know, Mark, we were just talking about that, and if you were listening, isn't it interesting that what you said is the way it should be? Is that I'm going, God, unless you create some roadblock that takes me off that course, as opposed to let me see if it fits into my schedule.
Let me pray about it.
Yeah,
you know, the old response, I'll pray about it when you really don't want to go, don't want to do it.
Well, and I think there are times where we may not want to go do that. I think of Rod Hanley, who was our speaker this weekend, talked even about accountability groups, and there's a tendency sometimes to go, man, I just really don't want to go do that.
Yeah.
But then the minute you do that, you're like, man, I needed that. You know, I think this trip was very much like that.
The Lord has been really good to me and Kathy. And Kathy had been on many missions trips, and I'd kind of stayed home and worked while she went and even took one of our sons to Africa. And I really wanted to go, but, you know, I had to stay home and make the money. And so so I said, okay, you know, if this is the mission trip that I'm supposed to be on, Lord, then I'm going unless you provide, you know, some roadblock that gets me off of this. And so, you know, I really wanted to go, and I had the time off to go. And Doug, you mentioned about the expense. I mean, it was expensive, but, you know, I mean, if the Lord wants you to go, just like you said, He's going to provide a way.
He does.
And he did.
He always does. Well, listen, Mark, tell us a little bit about your experience personally of sharing with the kids and sharing in schools. How many times each day did you share the gospel?
We probably did on average maybe 5-6 gospel presentations each day. And I just want to say, Doug, that the two things that I was just amazed at was the receptiveness and the attentiveness of the kids that we presented to. I mean, to a kid, either high schooler or elementary schooler, they gave us their full attention. They lined up in straight lines. They listened to every word we said, And for the most part, you know, we were just given carte blanche. And at the end, we handed out tracts. And to a kid, they opened up those tracts and read it from cover to cover. Now, I don't know of any kid in the United States that would do that. And so I was just amazed at that. And then on top of that, the hospitality that we got from the schools, the principals, to let us in the door unannounced with a sheet of paper that said that we could walk in the door and do this from their president. and just about to not every school, but almost every school assembled their classes under a pavilion, about 500 to 1,000, just about every school. And we got up there for about 10 minutes and presented the gospel. It was an amazing sight, just an amazing sight.
You know what I was thinking, Doug? Isn't it interesting? And Mark, as you were sharing, it made me think. There were many times where I thought, man, I wish we would have called ahead and scheduled this. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And yet we would have missed out seeing God work to open,
every
to soften
time.
The hearts of the principals
every time,
and the administration to let us either go classroom to classroom or in an assembly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even though we've kind of talked even about that.
Yeah, I obviously would have liked to have planned it, but, you know, God had his own plan.
Yeah.
And we were just part of it. Hey, real quick, Mark, because we're going to let you go, but
sure.
one last response. Your takeaway from that, you said you'd been on mission trips before. How did going on this trip and the way God used it to share the gospel so many times really impact you as you came back to life here in America?
Well, this trip, I think by design, too, it was designed to get you out of your comfort zone on day one. I am not used to getting up in front of anybody with that magnitude of people and presenting anything. You know, I'm pretty good with, you know, 5 or 10 people in a room, but getting me up in front of everybody up on the platform and presenting the gospel, it really did get me out of my comfort zone. But, you know, by the end of the week, I was more, you know, I guess attuned to that, and so by presenting it every day, it did help me to get it solidified in my head, and it has made it easier as I've come home to present the gospel because I've done it so many times.
That's awesome because you were trained. You were trained. That's what that's the whole purpose. Well, Mark, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening and being part of SWAT. And we'll look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks when we start our SWAT groups back up back in the second week of September. All right?
Sounds great, Doug.
Okay. Love you, man. Take care.
See you, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Doug.
See you, Mark. Mark didn't have a chance to mention this, but he had the added benefit of seeing a mouse on his roommate's pillow in the hotel.
Hey, so, really? You don't have to tell those details.
Did he really?
Well, it made one of the funny moments on the trip, and he was referred to as Mr. Jingles from the Green Mile of the trip.
We had to have some kind of entertainment over there, right? So, but hey, I think we got Tom on the line, I believe.
Is that my roomie?
It's your roomie, he was my mentee in the Marine Corps. He would differ and say he was my mentor and I was his mentee.
Hey, but, Tom, you there, buddy?
I am here. I'm so excited to talk to my old roommate and my old mentee.
And David Gray's here too, Tom, in
his
the studio
old partner on the road.
That's right. That's right. You know, you get to a certain point in life, I'm 58, that you think you won't have to room with another man. And you go on a mission trip with SWAT, and you get to do all kinds of things you didn't think you were going to do anymore.
So, Tom and I got to know each other really quick when he hears me scream getting out of the shower the first morning when I scalped my head. Remember that, Tom?
Oh, you hit your head on that low-hanging shower? Oh,
he was impressed right away that I didn't let a slew of cuss words come out of my mouth.
Yeah, but then you put positive pressure to stop the bleeding. That's what we did.
All week.
At every school Tom and I went to, they were trying to feed us, and so hospitable, and the food was really good. But Tom's standard line to me was, "You're not going to eat that, are you?"
Well, my standard line to him was, my question was, is the water filtered?
Exactly.
Is it filtered water?
Exactly. No, it was, but Tom, what is that? What did you eat there?
So, hey, Tom, I know that you have gone through training and you've shared with people before about creation. In fact, you came and taught our SWAT retreat 1 year about the stuff you'd put together on the creation from, you know, just an apologetic type thing. But had you ever shared the gospel that many times over a shorter period of time like that before?
Not at all. And it was neat to be able to commingle because really the creation evolution story or that apologetics is really just about scripture being true. And we call it different things. And of course, the creation evolution issue is easy to compare the two, but it's really about scripture. If scripture is true, then we don't have any other questions. We follow it, we read it, we study it. But again, the reason we have scripture is to know about Jesus and the gospel message. And I had not, when I do a lot of my speaking, it is with that creation evolution, the scripture is true, but many times it's with believers. And here to just be able to use that foundation with creation and Genesis to then present Jesus and the gospel to thousands of young people was really unique and something I had never done before.
Well, when you were going over there, what were your biggest fears or concerns for you personally?
Who he was going to room with?
other than the fact that you were going with me, and the fact that you were going to maybe room with Brad, but seriously, what were your biggest fears or concerns, and how did God help you work through those?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think probably most people that go on foreign mission trips that aren't going to like Paris or if you think you're going to a third world destination, and in this case, you asked me about a month before we left, so it wasn't something I had prepared to do, and all of a sudden, you know, you're going halfway around the world. There's just so many unknowns, and, you know, you tricked me as usual. You really didn't know. You didn't know what we were going to be doing and couldn't answer too many of my questions once we got close. And so the fear of the unknown, I think, for many people is what it is. And so I was not sure what it was going to be like day to day and what we'd be doing, who we were going to be talking to. And so those things, although they shouldn't bother us, they tend to if we don't know our surroundings.
So how did God help you work through all that to say, okay, I'm going to go? Did you just gut it out and say, okay, I'm going to do this? Or, I mean, were there affirming things that you should go? I mean, how did you work through those concerns? Because I know you, like a lot of men, we struggle with control, right? We want to know everything. We want to have everything worked out ahead of time. And so how did God help you personally work through those things?
Well, when you, like most things in life, when you have trials and tribulations, now this wouldn't really be one of those, although it was an unknown, is you bring it to prayer and you finally have to give it to God. You have to just say, well, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I'm going to prepare the best I can. I'm going to pray about it. And there you are getting on a plane and, you know, you have peace that it's going to work out.
You know, Tom, we've been Doug and I've been going through Ephesians 2:8-10 this week. That's kind of been our passage for the week, talking about we were created for good works, that we are vessels of the gospel message. And I think to your point, there does come a time where you have to surrender to your own ideas and even what you think that trip's going to be like, to just say, God, I'm yours. Use me however you're going to use me to your glory, you know?
Right. And really, that's what we should do every day.
Sure.
Now, I wish I could say I did that every day, but whether I'm here in Louisville or I'm, you know, where we were in the Philippines, which I'm not even sure where we were to this day. All I know, it was a long drive everywhere we went, but you just got to give it to the Lord. If I can get to that point better, I just will have a better life here on earth before I get to heaven. So,
well, you, like everybody, shared the gospel multiple times every day. Had you ever done anything like that before? with the gospel?
Nothing. And what was so neat, you know, not knowing what it was going to be like, and not even knowing exactly what I was going to say, when you, this is kind of what you think a mission trip would be like. You read about the old missionaries from the 1700s and 1800s and 1900s that went to these places. Basically, they didn't dig wells and they didn't build houses, although those things are obviously service, acts of service are what we're called upon to do too. This was just preaching the gospel day, you know, time after time. And it was such a blessing for me. I have never done a true foreign mission trip before, even though I support a bunch of people and I tell other people they should go. I give money. There I was, and man, it was unbelievable. In fact, I just met with a friend of mine that I meet with regularly, and he doesn't know it, but he's going next year.
Well, Tom, I know you're busy. Thank you for calling in. I'm so glad that you got to go with us. Sorry you had to room with Brad, and sorry you had to share a day with David, but you know, we'll make up for it next year. I'll put you in my room, okay?
Hey, make sure that Brad tells your listeners where his tattoo is.
Oh, okay. I may be the only one. All right. Hey, we love you, Tom. Thank you so much, brother. All right,
guys.
See you, Tom.
Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye.
We genuinely, you know, it's interesting.
I mean, you had never met Tom.
Never met Tom. I think Tom had called in to SWAT one time we talked, but I mean, I didn't know. But it's, you know, David, like you and I, we haven't spent a lot of time together. But you get around other men who are on the same mission you're on, there's just an immediate connection. And Tom and I mean, we had so much fun. And to his point, literally every day we'd end up back in the room together, and his question to me was, where did you go today? And I'd go, I have no idea where we were. You know, he was the same way. He didn't know where he was either.
Nobody did. I mean, but we were there. We knew we were in the Philippines, and we were sharing the gospel.
Well, part of that was because we got up at 3:30 in the morning, had our SWAT devotion at, 4:15?
Yeah.
And then we were on jeeps or whatever we were in by 5 o'clock,
and
so
we're
it's dark.
Out.
You got no clue where you're going.
And just to clarify how we did get to where we were going, because I think it's important to give these guys a plug. You know, we were with translators and pastors that are part of the organization over there, and they were fantastic. They were so great at they interpreted for us. They drove us everywhere. That first morning, Brad, they were pulling into a McDonald's parking lot within 5 minutes of us saying coffee. You know, so they were fantastic.
Yeah, they did a great job. And, you know, one of the things I'd prayed for before the trip was that God would bring together 12 guys to go. So, I you know, I said, God, I want 11 guys to go as an affirming sign to me that I'm supposed to do this. I know I'm supposed to go, but our ministry account was low, and I had to buy tickets for everybody. It's $24,000. And I'm just asking God to affirm these, you know, this trip and everything. And the last guy to volunteer to go on this trip was a guy named Don Novak.
Oh, yeah.
And Don, it was like the week before that deadline in early May, I guess. And so Don, I think, is on the line. Are you with us, Don?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
Don, hey, Santa.
Hey.
Thank you.
Hey, Don has the Santa Claus beard, and he is a good brother. He's been part of the Mandarin SWAT group for a long time, and he's gone to Israel with me. But have you ever been on a mission trip like this before, Don?
Never. It's been my first.
It was your first time. So what were your fears or concerns like? You told me, you said, you know, I know you had a shoulder issue. You said if the doctor clears, you're going to go. After you said that, and I said, okay, Don, you're in, what fears and concern popped into your mind?
Well, I'm the guy that does the ushering. I do setup. I'm behind the scenes. And this meant that I had to step out of a comfort zone. And it was difficult for me to do that. But, you know, I gave it to the Lord. I said, if you want me to go, you're going to supply the money. The money was there. It was an amazing thing. And I just, you know, I said, okay, Lord, you want me to do it? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to hit a shower with my head or anything like that.
You're too short for that, Don.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Well, hey, Don, these guys are full of encouraging comments today. They've been digging on me. I'm just glad they've got somebody else.
Hey,
man.
Well, let me just say something. And, Don, I'm sure you will agree with this because you were on the retreat also this weekend. We were talking, David, you mentioned the idea that we were up in the upper room during the retreat, and the power, the impact of us singing Amazing Grace upstairs, all the men, in the same way, Doug, just kind of what you said, was this coordination of getting 12 guys together to go co-labor in the gospel halfway around the world is just powerful.
Well, it was. And I don't know if you remember, I asked how many of you guys went to the Philippines, and all the guys at the retreat
raise
that went
hands,
over there raised their hand. Mm-hmm. And wasn't it cool to look around and every guy you saw that raised his hand, you had a bond with, right? Because you guys have experienced that. And Don, I know for you, you are that guy who serves behind the scenes. And I know it puts you out there to have to do that. Can you talk just a little bit about your experience of sharing with those kids the gospel and, you know, what that meant to you to be able to do that? I know it was a little anxious at first, but once you did it and that repetition of it, what did that do spiritually for you? How did that encourage you spiritually?
It, you know, I said earlier that it stretched me, but it was a situation of realizing that it's easy to preach the gospel, to present the gospel to anybody. You just have to get out there and do it. And I was worried about words and stuff like this, and the Holy Spirit was right there every day with giving me the words. I never said the same presentation twice. I was always adding something, taking something away, but it was always the Holy Spirit right there saying, this is what you need to say.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, had you, you know, how many times a day you think you shared the gospel over there?
I like the guys were saying, you know, somewhere between 5 and 7 times. That could be in a classroom or could be an assembly. Mm-hmm. But they've got to understand too that there were two missionaries that were preaching the gospel, you know, at those same things. So it's like, you know, I did 7, she did, or he did 7. So we're doing like 14 in a day, just the two of us, and there were 28 altogether.
Yeah,
we had a lot of people going out there preaching the gospel. We went to 297
schools. Yep. And, now, had you ever done anything like that before? Ever?
No, never, never, never. It was just an awesome situation.
Well, we got about 2 minutes. So, what was your one takeaway for you as God led you on this journey with the guys and then coming back to America?
Well, of course, God's hand was on it, and all the guys were saying, you know, how they were blessed and all this. The interesting thing about this is because you have David there.
Yeah.
He is my neighbor, you know, 3 streets down, and I had to go 7,000 miles.
Isn't that interesting? Wow. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and so the, you know, people that go, you know, that's a coincidence, whatever. That's the Holy Spirit saying, there's a brother.
And so you've both been part of SWAT for the last 3 years.
Yeah,
both
just
of
different
you.
Different
yes,
groups.
Yes,
but,
sir.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
and
even though he's from
another
Boston.
Another guy had that same type of situation where, you know, he's there. He was talking to an interpreter. The interpreter knows, you know, has, you know, relatives here in Florida. And Gil is working with, you know, the nephew in his office.
That's crazy.
7,000 miles, and we're going to find this stuff out.
Yeah, God.
The Holy
God,
Spirit was through this thing the whole way.
He was. Well, I am so glad that you joined us over there. I'm glad you're a part of SWAT, and I'm glad that you were able to call in. We love you and appreciate you, brother, and we'll see you when we start SWAT back up in 2 weeks, all right?
Sounds good. Love you guys, too.
All right. Love you, guys. Take care. Well, what a treat. I mean, such a – this was great. Just have some guys calling in.
Yeah, tomorrow we got Ronnie McKinnon.
Ronnie.
And and Ronnie was just – they were on a show on MSNBC with Ken Parker yesterday as a KKK guy. Ronnie, a black pastor, led to Christ. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow. He was also in the Philippines. David, thanks for being here.
Ronnie was my roommate.
Yeah.
David, good to have you in here.
Thanks,
buddy.
Guys. It was great to be
and,
here.
And listen, come join us tomorrow. SWAT Radio, again, we'll be talking about the Philippines, and we'll have Ronnie on.
Yeah.
So, Doug, good to be with you, buddy.
Yeah, good to be here today. And, Steve, thank you for all you do, brother.
Check us out, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SWAT Radio Talk.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ.